Good morning. Again, it's glad to worship with you on this Father's Day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Today I'm going to preach an unapologetically sappy sermon about the love of your Heavenly Father for you. The love of God for you that's greater than anything you could ever imagine. The truth of the gospel that you are fully known and fully loved by God. If I were to ask you to describe your relationship with your earthly father, what would you say? Some of you may be very close to your earthly father, or were very close. Maybe he's passed away. Maybe he's your hero. Maybe he was always there for you in the ups and downs of your life, offering unwavering support and grace. His presence was with you, and his support was for you. Maybe some of you have a relationship with your earthly father that's strained. You just don't really connect. You might have very different personalities or very different interests. Or maybe there's past hurts or different expectations that didn't happen, and there's just a disconnect. It's a strained relationship. And maybe some of you with your earthly father have an outright hostile relationship or no relationship at all. Or again, maybe some of you your fathers have passed away, and whether you had a good relationship with him, you miss him, or if you did not, that still hurts. Regardless of any relationship dynamics that exist between you and your earthly father, when it comes to the love of your heavenly father, the love of God for you, that you were fully known and fully loved all the time, no matter what, scripture is clear. And that's what I'm going to preach on today. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the living God on the early church. And one of the primary ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives, according to Scripture, is to assure us in our hearts of our identity as beloved children of God. Paul writes about it in his letters to the Galatians and to the Romans, about how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to help us cry out to God, Abba, Father. To remember that we are beloved children of our Heavenly Father, beloved children of God. The Apostle John put it this way, see what great love God has given us, the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the good news of the gospel on this Father's Day, again, is that you are fully known and fully loved by your Heavenly Father. It's no coincidence that Jesus taught us to pray literally to our Father in heaven, not to some non-personal deity or some unmovable mover, but to our Father, our Heavenly Father. In today's gospel passage, Jesus preached about a certain aspect of our Heavenly Father's love for us, about how our Heavenly Father knows every detail in our life and watches over us. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Even the hairs of your head are all counted, Jesus said. Think about that for a second. Have you ever wondered how many hairs are on the average human head? I've never thought about it until preparing this sermon, and I did some research on it. Believe it or not, it has to do with hair color. So if you have blonde hair, you have an average of 150,000 hairs on your head. If you have black or brown hair, your average number of hairs on your head is about 110,000. And if you have red hair, it's about 90,000. If you have a loss of hair, like me, of course, those numbers plummet dramatically. But the point here that Jesus is making is that your Heavenly Father knows how many hairs are on your head, and that's simply an indication of that your Heavenly Father cares about every detail in your life, even the ones that you don't really care about. Your Heavenly Father does. You're fully known, fully loved by your Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, there are literally tens of millions of sparrows in North America alone. And God not only knows about everyone, but cares about everyone and knows about you and cares about you much, much more. Along those lines, in 1905, there was a couple, the Martins, Sevilla Martin and her doctor husband, and they were traveling in upstate New York and they were visiting old friends, the Doolittles. I don't think they had any relation with Dr. Doolittle who sings to animals. That's a different Doolittle. Anyway, so the Martins are visiting their friends, the Doolittles, in upstate New York. And the Doolittles had a lot of suffering in their life. Mr. Doolittle was wheelchair-bound. Mrs. Doolittle was bedridden. And yet, both of them were happy and upbeat. People that lifted you up when you were around them because they had no doubt about how much they were loved by God. And Sevilla Martin put it this way. Despite their afflictions, Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle lived happy Christian lives, bringing inspiration and comfort to all who knew them. One day while we were visiting with them, my husband commented on their bright hopefulness and asked them for the secret of it. Mrs. Doolittle's reply was simple. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. The beauty of this simple expression of boundless faith gripped the hearts and fired the imagination of my husband and I. And so, as you may have guessed, it was in that moment that Sevilla Martin was inspired to write the beloved and beautiful hymn, "Why Should I Feel Discouraged? Why Should the Shadows Come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. And I sing because I'm happy. I'm singing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me." You are fully known and fully loved by your Heavenly Father. Speaking of gospel music, the New York Times recently had a fascinating interview with the legendary Bob Dylan, who just released a new album, his first one of original songs in 8 years. And among the many topics in this interview with Bob Dylan, they discussed his friendship with another legend, the late Little Richard, who passed away last month, and who actually had a lot of gospel music that was often overlooked and dismissed. And Douglas Brinkley of the New York Times asked Dylan, "Why didn't more people pay attention to Little Richard's gospel music?" Listen to Dylan's response. "Probably because gospel music is the music of good news, and in these days, there just isn't any. Good news in today's world is like a fugitive, treated like a hoodlum, put on the run. All we see is news that stirs people up, gossip and dirty laundry, dark news that depresses and horrifies you." Well, who can argue with that? I mean, when was the last time you watched the news or looked at the news feed on your phone and felt better afterwards? But then Dylan talks about the good news of the gospel. Listen to this. "On the other hand," Dylan says, "gospel news is exemplary. It can give you courage. You can pace your life accordingly, or try to. And you can do it with honor and principles. Little Richard was a great gospel singer, but I think he was looked at as an outsider or an interloper in the gospel world. They didn't accept him there. And of course, the rock and roll world wanted Little Richard to keep singing Good Golly, Miss Molly. So his gospel music wasn't accepted in either world." And again, part of the exemplary gospel that indeed can give you courage and lift you up is that your Heavenly Father knows and loves you fully, cares about the details of your life, watches over you. And in the last song on Dylan's 1981 album, Shot of Love, a beautiful song called Every Grain of Sand, Dylan sings about this very idea. "In the time of my confession, in the hour of my deepest need, when the pool of tears beneath my feet flood every newborn seed. There's a dying voice within me reaching out somewhere, toiling in the danger and in the morals of despair. Then onward in my journey, I come to understand that every hair is numbered like every grain of sand. And I'm hanging in the balance of the reality of man, like every sparrow falling, like every grain of sand. Obviously a song inspired by today's gospel passage. One more illustration and then I'll close. This is an illustration from over here. Like many other people, I'm a big fan of Star Wars movies, and I'm also a big fan of Shakespeare. And there's a brilliant creative writer named Ian Dosher who's rewritten the 9 Star Wars films, each film as a Shakespearean play with Elizabethan English and written in iambic pentameter and other Shakespearean features. It's totally nerdy and totally awesome at the same time. And the Star Wars films are replete with father-child issues or dynamics, from Darth Vader being Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker's father, to Kylo Ren being the son of Han Solo. And in the film The Force Awakens, which in this Ian Dosher book is The Force Doth Awaken, we come to that really sad part of the film where Han Solo is pleading with his son Kylo Ren to turn away from the dark side and join him on the good side. And it will cost Han Solo dearly. Ian Dosher puts it this way. Kylo Ren responds to his father's plea. "'Tis too late. 'Tis too late." Han Solo continues. "'Nay, never. Come, return unto thy home. We miss thy gentle presence in our lives. 'Tis never too late, my son. 'Tis never too late.'" And Kylo says, "I do confess that I am torn asunder from all this pain I fain would set me free, would be set free. I know what I must do, yet fear I've not the strength to make it so. O, wilt thou help?" Han Solo replies, "Of course, whate'er thou wishest, my sweet boy, thou bringst and e'er did bring me such great joy." And Kylo says aside, "Beyond the chamber dies the light outside, and toward the light within my very soul. Thus in my core doth darkness reign at last." In other words, Kylo chooses the dark side. And Kylo Ren in that moment turns on his lightsaber and he runs it through his father, Han Solo. And as his life departs from him, Han Solo gently places his hand on his son's face. And he says this, "My son, whose face is still so dear to me. Oh, how I see thy mother still in thee." Han Solo's love for his son Kylo Ren, which literally cost him his life, did not change, even as his own son took that life from him. "My son, whose face is still dear to me, still dear to me." And that mirrors your Heavenly Father's love for you. You see, on Good Friday, your Heavenly Father proved once and for all that you are fully known and fully loved, proved once and for all that God cares about every detail in your life and watches over you in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Scripture puts it this way, God proves, present tense, God proves his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And on the cross, every one of Jesus' numbered hairs on his sacred head was caked with blood and sweat, tangled and enmeshed in a crown of thorns. And as a sparrow gently falls to the ground, Jesus' sacred head gently fell on his chest as he gasped his final breath, and the heart of your Heavenly Father broke. And yet, that is how much you are loved by your Heavenly Father. for any of you who may feel estranged from your Heavenly Father, estranged from God on this Father's Day. Han Solo's words to Kylo Ren are your Heavenly Father's words to you. 'Tis not too late. 'Tis never too late. Today, may the Holy Spirit assure you anew in your heart that you are a beloved child of your Heavenly Father, fully known, fully loved by your Heavenly Father, who knows every detail of your life, cares about every detail of your life, and watches over you even now. Amen. See you next week.